Monkeys Fighting Robots Nation. How you doing today on this post Super Bowl Monday? I had the extreme pleasure of talking to Robert Kirkman this afternoon about his new book, Oblivion Song, and we had this great conference call and we had some amazing stuff. So here are my questions for Robert Kirkman. And here's his response. I'm super jazzed, as we all are, because it's Robert Kirkman, The Walking Dead. Oh, my God. He's done so many amazing things for the comic book industry. Oh, my God. Here are the questions now. Listen and give me your feedback. Robert, Matt Sardo from Monkeys Fighting Robots, thank you for taking the time to talk with me today.
Happy to be here.
Can you talk about your co-creator, Lorenzo De Felice, and what he brought to the book and why he was the perfect fit for the project?
Yeah, you know, Lorenzo has been working in Italian comics for a good long time. You know, I had been, you know, directed toward him by a colleague named Corey Walker, who I work very closely with, who was always kind of scouring the internet for the best of arts stuff. And he had, you know, pointed Lorenzo out to me. Gosh, I mean, it must have been at least 3 years ago at this point. And, you know, Lorenzo just has a very unique style that I thought would lend itself well to a story that is as monster heavy as Oblivion Song is. I had no idea that his family were biologists and that he actually had a background and, you know, some scientific mumbo jumbo that I think has been very useful to the comic. But I really just thought that that his take on different environments and different things that I'd seen in his art would, you know, really allow him to thrive on this book, because in order to visualize this world that we had come up with, I needed an artist that, could draw a normal person in a cafe drinking coffee and make that look interesting, but at the exact same time, you know, also have to have the capabilities of, you know, building an entire alien ecosystem, visualizing how that world works, how the animals move and how their musculature works. And there's, you know, a lot of other stuff coming in the later parts of the book that, are going to ramp that up exponentially, because there's, you know, quite a bit more alien stuff on the horizon. So finding someone who can juggle those two worlds is extremely difficult. But, I knew Lorenzo was going to be able to handle it, and he's been handling it extremely well.
Oblivion Song is being labeled science fiction. In your opinion, what are the most important elements that make up great science fiction?
Well, I think the hallmark of great science fiction is, it's that the science fiction doesn't alienate and actually kind of accentuates the human story. The best science fiction is stuff that is, completely out there and very unreal and very fantastical and yet completely relatable. And so that's something that we're trying to do here. This situation is more than likely never going to happen in real life. We're never going to see a large chunk of a major city sent to another dimension. I mean, we hope. This is something that, we look at very realistically and that the characters have very real reactions to. And it is something, that on a emotional core, you know, we can all relate to. We've all suffered loss in our life. We've all dealt with tragedy, either small or huge, depending on our individual cases. This is still something that we can relate to, despite the fact that it is this insane, crazy science fiction thing.
With The Walking Dead, you have an amazing ability to end every issue on a cliffhanger. Will we see this style of writing in Oblivion Song, and how do you find the perfect spot to end an issue?
Yeah, I think that, that's more my writing style than it is something that just happens in Walking Dead. I think that, an issue that doesn't end in a cliffhanger should be few and far between. And I have done it, and I do it with this series as well. But I think you always want to end on some kind of a note that makes people you know, desperate to come back. And so I strongly believe in cliffhangers for that reason. But yeah, as far as when to do it, oftentimes my writing process involves, you know, coming up with the cliffhanger first and then writing to that moment. You know, that just seems to be how my mind works. You know, oh, it'll be crazy to end on this point, and that kind of pops into my head. And then, you know, I will oftentimes be like, well, you know, what kind of story fits between where I left off last issue and, you know, where I'm ending this issue? You know, writing to that, I think, makes, you know, the cliffhangers work a little better. Just because, you know, I know where I'm going and I know how to set them up for maximum impact. So oftentimes I'm, you know, somewhat writing backwards into a event that I've already done, if that makes sense.
In the first issue, we see monsters of all size. Talk about the monster designs and how hard it is to create an original looking monster these days.
You know, when it comes to creating original monsters, you know, that's where you lean on an artistic co-creator, to be completely honest. And, you know, well, to a certain extent, it's been somewhat organic in that, you know, when I write the scenes, I will call for different kinds of animals and, you know, give him different descriptions about, you know, what kind of size they are and, you know, kind of an analog function on how they, you know, would relate to, you know, some kind of earth animal that we both know. You know, we talked out some initial designs and, you know, how I wanted the creatures to look and, you know, that I, you know, didn't want them to be furry, you know, that I wanted them to be a little bit, you know, kind of gross and sickly looking. You know, once we kind of established, you know, a general look for, you know, how the overall thing would be, then it's just kind of a case-by-case basis. As I write scenes, I'll just go, I don't know, it's like a cheetah. And then Lorenzo will be like, okay, alien cheetah, here you go. Over the course of the many issues that we've produced, we've actually kind of cataloged and started naming the various animals so that we can reuse them. So I think we've gotten to a point where we've got like maybe 20 or 30 unique different animals that have shown up here and there. And so... you know, it got to be a little confusing, like when I'm writing issue 11 and I'm like, like that one thing that looked kind of like a rat, but wasn't like this butterfly thing, but was kind of like, you know, like use that thing again. So now we're going through the process of actually, you know, cataloging them, which is a lot of fun. Seeing everything through his visual lens is one of the pure joys of writing a story like this. You know, in issue 2, they go to a museum and there's this giant, you know, woolly mammoth, tusky, like monster thing. And I don't remember exactly what description they gave him for that. But, you know, I just said I wanted some, you know, massively impressive, slow moving looking like crazy, you know, 10 story tall monster. And, you know, you give him a big enough canvas. I mean, that's one thing that, you know, a writer has to do is, you know, I work with the pacing, and so, you know, I can write, hey, draw the coolest thing ever, and then give him 7 panels on a page, and then he doesn't get to actually show off, and that's a mistake some writers make. But, you know, when I give him something like that, and I want him to show me something that's that huge, you know, you give him a 2-page spread, and then, you know, then you let Lorenzo work his magic. So, you know, when it comes to creature design, I just really have to lean on that guy, and you know, he's been working his magic issue after issue, and there's some really impressive stuff coming.
That was Robert Kirkman, and Oblivion Song will be in your local comic book store on March 7th. This concludes our special edition of the Monkeys Fighting Robots podcast. Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed the interview, comment, review, and subscribe. I'm Matt Sardo, and this is Monkeys Fighting Robots.
Tonight on News 4 at 5.
Nothing beats a long hot shower in the winter, but how long do you take?
10 minutes.
20 minutes?
If there's music, maybe 30.
Heating water is so expensive, so I'll show you 4 ways to slash your energy bill.
Saving you money this winter. Consumer reporter Susan Hogan is working for you tonight on News 4 at 5 with Wendy Rieger, Jim Hanley, and Chief Meteorologist Doug Kammerer, getting you up to speed the minute you get home with the day's top stories and changing weather conditions. Working for you on NBC 4 at 5.